Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's always wonderful when we have this opportunity to celebrate the great solemnity of our patroness, St. Dorothy. And I want you to keep in mind that on special days like this throughout the church, our Lord is more gracious. He's willing to pour out more graces upon us, in this case, through her intercession. So we, as parishioners of St. Dorothy, who seek her intercession, actually have a greater opportunity for grace this day, for God's blessings this day, because it's her solemnity in particular. It's kind of like a gift he gives her even while she's in heaven. So this is the day we celebrate her, she gets more favors. So whatever is on your heart, whatever you need of God, this is a good day to ask through her intercession. Now, as I was preparing for this celebration and trying to think about on what I would preach, I started, just unrelatedly, rereading a book I read long ago called Trustful Surrender to the Divine Providence. It's very similar to the one I've mentioned in other homilies, which is Abandonment to Divine Providence. They're the same idea, just different saintly authors, and they're both very valuable, and I would certainly recommend this one to you as well. Again, Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence. So I just started rereading it this week during my prayer time. And yet, clearly, by God's providence, he ordained this. He arranged this because I found in some of the first pages a quote from St. Dorothy. I don't think I've ever read a quote from St. Dorothy before, so this is a new one for me. So the author, St. Claude de la Colombière, writes this. It's page 19, well, at least this copy. So he's talking about, again, surrendering yourself to divine providence. The divine providence is the idea that God's will governs all things. So nothing can happen to us that is accidental. It's all ordained or governed or controlled by God in one way or another. So clearly, when I read this quote from St. Dorothy, preparing for a homily on St. Dorothy, that was providence. It wasn't accident or a neat coincidence. We believe that was arranged by God. But it's not just the good things that God arranges in our life like this. It's especially the bad things. So that's what this quote is referring to. So St. Cloud says, "Let us never then attribute our losses, our disappointments, our afflictions, our humiliations to the devil or to men, but to God as their real source." Read that again so you all get a chance to absorb that. Let us never then attribute our losses, our disappointments, our afflictions, our humiliations to the devil or to men, but to God as their source. And this is where he quotes St. Dorothy. Quote, "To act otherwise," says St. Dorothy, "would be to do the same as a dog who vents his anger on the stone instead of putting the blame on the hand that threw it at him," end quote. So St. Dorothy said that to act otherwise would be to do the same as a dog who vents his anger on a stone instead of putting the blame on the hand that threw it at him. Basically, St. Dorothy is saying, whenever something bad happens to you, like when that stone hits you and hurts you, don't blame the stone. It's just a stone. God is the one who threw it. And St. Cloud continues to explain. "So let us be careful not to say, so-and-so is the cause of my misfortune. Your misfortunes are the work, not of this or that person, but of God." But of God. And what should give you reassurance is that God, the sovereign good, is guided in all his actions by his most profound wisdom for holy and supernatural purposes. So they're both teaching us that all of the bad things that happen to us individually in our life or collectively were actually sent to us by the hand of God, just like that stone that's thrown at the dog. But we can be like that dog. In fact, oftentimes we are. We blame the devil because God used the devil to punish us. We blame our neighbor or our spouse or our kids or our parents because God used them to make us suffer. And St. Claude and St. Dorothy are both saying, that's like a dog getting angry at a stone. That's irrational and illogical. Now, to help you understand this a little better, I'll relate a particular story. I may have shared it before in a homily, but when I was a religious brother during my novitiate year, I had a particular spiritual director named Father Fidelis Grabowski, God rest his soul. Amazing, holy man. He was retired at this point. He had to have been in his 80s, and he was blind. So I knew I wanted him to be my spiritual director when one day I was in the chapel where he lived, praying quietly. It was around 3 o'clock. And I hear the door open in the back. Now, nobody else is in there except me and the Lord. So I turn and I see him coming in. Now, he's totally blind. He didn't have a cane or anything. He's just kind of feeling along the wall. And he starts walking. I'm wondering what he's doing, right? He starts feeling along the wall of the church, making his way all the way over to the left-hand side. And he reaches up and he finds the first station of the cross. And then, he's really old. He like slowly gets down on his knees and begins to do the stations of the cross. Blind, he did this every day at the 3 o'clock hour. I used to get to the chapel as soon as I could at that time just to watch him do this. It was watching a saint pray. And I was like, I want him to be my spiritual director. That's the one I want directing me. You can imagine such a beautiful soul. So during the time in which he would direct me, you know, I'd go and I'd speak with him and share with him challenges, difficulties I was having. One of the things that I brought up one day was that the year before I had entered the novitiate, the superior I had had in religious life was not an easy man to live with. I think it's a nice way to put it. He wasn't a bad man. He just had issues. And those issues spilled out into everyone else in the house. So I suffered a lot under his authority, let's just say. So this is a year later, and I'm still suffering from what happened to me. I'm still kind of dealing with it. So I would talk it out with Father Fidelis. One day, I was trying not to get angry, but I was feeling so angry at this priest and what he had done. So Father Fidelis, there he is, this little old blind man sitting on his bed. He doesn't even look at me, but he's listening. And he says, Brother David, why did you come to this community? I said, because God led me here. He goes, okay. And he goes, so what? Why was that priest your superior last year? Because the head of the order, the provincial, we call him, he made him the superior. He said, so again, it was God who made that man your superior. And I said, well, yeah, I guess he did. And so God didn't have to call you to this community, did he? No, he didn't have to. God didn't have to make him your superior, did he? No, he didn't have to. He said, so that superior is not really at fault for the bad things he did to you, because God made it happen. God is the one who arranged the whole thing to take place. So you're not actually angry at that superior. I said, I'm not. He goes, no, you're angry at God, because God arranged it. And I was sitting there, and I thought about it, and I was like, you're right. No wonder I can't get over this, because I'm angry at God. I know God did it, and I don't understand why he put me through that suffering. Now, again, Father Fidelis, the sweetest old man you'd ever meet, right? Very gentle soul. Never heard him raise his voice at all. So there I am seated, bearing my soul to this man. He's speaking very gently, but the moment I say, yeah, I realize I'm angry at God, he turns and he looks in my direction, and he puts up his finger. He goes, how dare you be angry at God? He loves you. I kind of almost fell over. I was in such shock. He just started yelling at me. How dare you? Who do you think you are to be angry at God? You think you know more than he does? He has done everything for your good, even this. And I was glad he shocked me in that way, because it broke me out of that prideful judgment of his will. You see, in my estimation, I didn't think I should have had to suffer those things. But of course, I was wrong. I look back now and I see exactly why God wanted me to suffer those things. At the time, I couldn't understand. But now it's made clear. St. Dorothy is trying to teach us through this quote that we, just like I did, act like an ignorant dog when we blame anyone but God for the bad things that happen to us. But it's not really a matter of blaming God because he didn't do anything wrong. He is all good. All that he does is good, whether you understand it or not. You know what God really wants from us when he sends crosses into our life? He wants us to thank him for the graces that they bring. I want you to think about it this way. Kids, pay attention. Do you know what your parents want from you most of all? What would make them happiest? It's when they spank you or they put you in the corner or they take away your toys because you've done something wrong, and then you go to them and you say, Mommy, Daddy, thank you for disciplining me because it makes me a better person. That's what your parents would love. I mean, they would probably drop over dead in shock, but that's actually what they want to hear from you, because discipline from a parent ideally is out of love. It's because they love you that they don't let you do everything that you want. It doesn't feel that way when you're a kid, does it? We don't like it when we get disciplined. Well, we don't like it as adults. But the thing we have to remember as adults is we should know better than our children. We have less excuse than our children do. And God has more right to our thanks and praise even when he sends us suffering, because it's always for our good. And it's that kind of humility that we can learn from St. Dorothy, not only by the words that she spoke, but also by her example. Here she is, this young, holy woman that has dedicated herself to Jesus in love. Because of the society in which she lived, she was threatened with death if she did not deny Christ. She joyfully went to her death. She had no anxiety or fear, and she had no anger towards any of the ones who God used to kill her. In fact, she was grateful to them. Why? Because they helped her get to heaven sooner. She's like, why should I be sad? Why should I be angry at you? If you kill me, I get to go see Jesus today. That's fantastic. The only way we can have that kind of faith is if we truly believe that God is in control of all things, and that whatever he is willing or allowing is always for our good and the good of others. But this is a difficult lesson for us. It's a challenge. The one thing that helped St. Dorothy and all the saints learn this lesson is a great love of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. It wasn't just a casual belief. Oh, yeah, I believe in the real presence. And oh, yeah, I genuflect and go to Mass and receive communion and, you know, I do these things. No, it was a deep belief rooted in their heart that every time they entered into his Eucharistic presence, they would have such reverence, like that old blind priest. And every time they received him worthily in Holy Communion, they would rejoice that the greatest desire of their heart was being fulfilled at that moment. I have this quote from another virgin martyr, not St. Dorothy, but I think it applies to her just as well. It said that the only cosmetics St. Dorothy ever wore, the only makeup, was a particular kind of lipstick. A certain kind of rouge, the blood of Christ. That was all she was concerned with, the body and blood of the Lord. And it was that love and that devotion that changed everything else for her and made her fearless, even as a young teenage girl. So, in honor of our patroness, and for the same grace that we could receive to be just as faithful and just as trusting in the will of God, today I'm going to distribute Holy Communion. by intinction. I've done that before. This is under both species, the body and the blood. And that's where I take the host and I dip it in the precious blood and I'll say the body and blood of Christ. And you all say, amen. Now, of course, if you receive that way, you have to receive on the tongue because the host is soaked with the precious blood. But if you still want to receive in the hand, if you still need to receive in the hand, just hold out your hands. But when you receive under any form, I want you to think about that. About that imagery, that idea of the blood of Christ staining your lips red. And when you go forth, remember what he did for you so trustingly in the will of the Father. And he wants you to be willing to do the same, to have such trust in the will of God that no matter what he asks you to suffer, you do it not only willingly, but joyfully with gratitude in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.